Hi everybody, welcome to the RCGP. I'm Alka Patel, RCGP Clinical Fellow for Collaborative General Practice, and today I'm with Mike Holmes. Mike is one of three vice chairs of the RCGP, and one of his portfolios includes membership and international. He is the partner in a practice of 60,000 patients, the chair of a federation covering 150,000 patients, and he is a founder member of NHS Collaborate. Today, we'll be exploring the impact of scale. Mike will be sharing his journey of working at scale, how his practice grew across two cities, how the GP Federation emerged, what at scale general practice has been able to deliver, and how he envisages the emergent primary care networks building on this. So welcome, Mike, to the podcast.
Thank you, Alka. It's a pleasure to be here and talking to you today.
Fantastic. So Mike, your practice, it's the Haxby Group, and your federation is Nimbus Care. And can you just tell us a little bit about this, how it's evolved, what you've been doing?
Yeah, so I became a partner in Haxby Group 18 years ago. And at the time, Haxby Group was quite a big practice. We had 20,000 patients in the city of York across four different sites. But shortly after the new GMS contract came out in 2004-2005, we began to notice the potential threats to our income in terms of the way QOF was structured and the way enhanced services were commissioned. And so we looked to diversify and looked to grow. And one of the things that caught our attention was the Equitable Access to General Practice program that was taking place all around the country in the late 2000s. And in particular, Hull caught our attention. So Hull is a city that's 40 miles away from York, yet is very different, has a very different demographic, and has a different deprivation profile. And what we noticed was that the public health outcomes were really different. Life expectancy was significantly shorter, and the incidence of all chronic diseases was higher, more people smoked, there were more teenage pregnancies, you name it, all the health indicators were worse in Hull than they were in York. Mm-hmm. And that really motivated us. We bid for three APMS contracts. They were procuring six contracts in Hull, and these would be brand new practices with no patients, starting from scratch. And we bid for three, and we were successful with those three bids. And so we opened three practices with no patients in 2009. And our journey there has been fantastic. We've really enjoyed being part of the healthcare fabric of Hull. I've had a role in the CCG there as the Associate Medical Director. And we've grown our organisations. And now we care for 30,000 patients in Hull from five sites and a mixture of contracts. Those three initial APMS contracts were merged into one. We've subsequently bid for and been successful in acquiring a second APMS contract and also a GMS contract. And we're very much enjoying being part of that system. What we now have is a practice that sits across the two cities with 30,000 patients in each city. And we're really trying to change the model of delivery of general practice. One of the challenges in Hull is that it's difficult to recruit doctors, and so we've broadened our clinical team. We now have a multi-professional team using pharmacists, paramedics, physicians associates, and advanced nurse practitioners to deliver care alongside GPs. And it feels really positive.
I mean, so certainly this multi-professional working that you're describing seems to be the fabric of this new three-letter word we're all using now, PCN. So how do you see that all integrating? In particular, have you thought about the integration with primary care networks and Nimbus Care and Federation?
So I think there has been challenges as you develop multi-professional teams. We've been looking, I think because of our scale, we've been able to bring in more members of the team. We've been fortunate to work with HAE as the workforce and training hub for our STP area to support the development, support the education, and support the embedding of these new clinicians alongside GPs in primary care. I would like to see PCNs continuing that and being able to broaden the workforce, actually to take pressure off GPs. One of the consequences of working in this way for us has been that we've been able to have longer appointments, longer routine appointments. So we now offer 15 minute as a routine appointment. And I think we've been able to share the workload, and it's reduced the intensity of the day for the GPs.
Right, great, yeah. And do you see how that can evolve into network working then? So I know you talk about pillars of networks. Can you describe those?
So I think obviously what we're seeing as part of the PCN contract is the ability to bring in new types of clinician. And in year one, we're seeing resource to bring in pharmacists and to bring in social prescribing link workers. And that feels like a move in a very positive direction. What we've done, particularly in the York side of our practice, is we've gone for quite a large PCN. So the City of York has a population of 250,000, and we were working in a federation with a number of practices, and felt that we didn't want to disrupt that in any way, and so we wanted to invite more practices to work with us, and in fact. Made an offer to the whole city to come and work as a single PCN. As it turns out, that hasn't quite happened, but seven practices have chose to work together in a PCN, caring for a population of actually 150,000. Mm-hmm. So we've got one PCN with one contract, and then we've divided that up into three neighbourhoods of 50,000, but we're all working under one organisation.
Okay, so that certainly seems very collaborative, where actually you've got individual PCNs who then are forming an overarching network as well. So for those at that sort of emergent end of primary care networks, what would you suggest should be key areas of focus at this sort of startup stage?
I think the really important thing is to do what feels right for you in your locality, in your area. This is a real opportunity to work together, but it's got to feel right. So, and I think you've got to work out what's right for your organisation, for your PCN, for your population, and take your time to do that. I think for PCNs in the first year, there's obviously some guidance to develop the workforce in the way I've already described. There's also suggestions that we need to work together to deliver extended hours services. But I think over and above that, it's about organisational development, ensuring that you're choosing to develop your PCN in the way that's right for you. Understand your own developmental needs, understand what your population needs, and then start to work out how you're going to create and deliver and co-design services for that population.
Great, thanks, Matt. There's certainly a lot of reflective practice needed for that. But people do also need a little bit of support in that journey as well. And from the college's angle, what sort of support can the RCGP offer?
Well, I think there's a whole... Before I answer that, I think what I'd say is that there's a whole raft of different types of support available or will be available for PCNs. I've been fortunate enough to co-chair the PCN external reference group with NHS England, and they're looking at a whole spectrum of different support offers for practices all around the country, and I think that's really welcome. From the perspective of the RCGP, at this stage I would direct people to our collaborative general practice newsletter. That's currently available on our website at gpedscale.rcgp.org.uk. That newsletter is published monthly, and it's going to have information around events, case studies, webinars, and other resources that will be available to support our members as they get involved with PCNs. And I think the other thing that we're looking at is we're looking to contribute to the support that's going to be offered by NHS England. I would direct people to the practice support development pages of the main RCGP website for more information about that, what's going to be on offer now and in the future.
Lovely, brilliant. That's really helpful tips and signposting there. So any final words of advice for our listeners?
Well, I think this feels like a potentially exciting moment. It's certainly perhaps the beginning of a new era for the way we deliver care. I think the collaboration between practices and between sectors certainly feels like the direction of travel. It's going to be a journey over the next few years, and I look forward to seeing the outcome of that journey.
Thank you.